Hello, and welcome to another segment of Open House here at Community Media. We're really excited that you join us today. We have a great show for you. We have Jason Martz, who's the communication specialist at Gettysburg National Park and the Eisenhower National Historic Site with us. This is a show that we bring awesome people from our community into our studio, so that we could share with you the amazing things that they're doing to make our community safe, vibrant, and thriving. And we have a great relationship with the National Park Service. And Jason, welcome to another show. I always look forward to talking to you. I never have to worry about anything to say.
No, we've always got plenty to talk about. Thanks for having me again.
Yes. So, the big excitement at the Park Service, we talked about a historic leasing program that you guys were going to put together.
Correct.
And you just announced this program a few days ago?
Yesterday, in fact. It would have been... Thursday, May 9th, we announced that that two houses on the Gettysburg battlefield will be available for visitors to come in and stay overnight and be part of the battlefield story and have a very immersive experience. So this historic lease program, we've been trying to get it up off the ground for a while. We had a couple setbacks, but we're ready to go. Better late than never. And folks can make reservations for two different houses, and the reservations can be made now, but the house, both houses will be open beginning May 24th.
May 24th.
May 24th is when the first reservation is for that day.
You know, when you first presented this concept to me, I was like, wow, this is going to be amazing, because if you enjoy the history of Gettysburg, to be able to rent out, sleep overnight, use the kitchen, maybe a barbecue in the back.
No fires, all the above is still good.
Okay, and there would be no jacuzzi.
No jacuzzis. We're sticking to the historic footprint.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what an experience, talking about immersive.
Yes.
And I thought that you would have so many people interested in this that, people would be lining up for next year.
Yeah. Well, the reservations have been open now for just a few days actually, and there's already a bunch of reservations on both of the houses, so it didn't take very long for the word to get, once the word got out, people started making reservations immediately.
But there's still some open dates.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Point.
Sure. Yeah.
So do you rent it just on the weekend or
nope.
7 days a week?
All 7 days are available. You do have to stay at least two nights, and you can stay as many as six nights.
Okay. Honeymoons?
Whatever.
Whatever. Can you have guests over?
It depends on how many folks would be interested in staying. Depends on how many beds, how many folks you have. The slider house is a little bit smaller. Can only accommodate four people. But the Bushman house is a little bit larger, and I believe it can take either six or eight people. So we have two different size houses for two different types of either maybe a family or a couple couples. So it really just depends.
And I think we have...
Yeah.
Which place... Oh, this is a gorgeous picture. I bet you took it.
One of my team took this picture just recently. Yeah, this is the Bushman house. And both the Bushman and the Slider House are both on the southern end of the battlefield and would have seen the property and the homes themselves within the battle lines during the afternoon of July 2nd. So this is these historic houses have a very important place on the battlefield and are quite literally part of the battle story. And so this is the Bushman House. This is the larger of the two. And the photograph here also shows the proximity of Little Round Top, which is in there in the background in the distance. You can see the tree line across the top and a couple monuments you can also see there at the top.
Mm-hmm. And they call that the castle there? Or?
Yeah, the one there on the right is the largest of the monuments on the summit of Little Round Top. It's to the 44th New York Infantry Regiment, but it is also commonly known as the castle.
As the castle.
Yeah.
And the next picture is?
Okay, so this is the Slider House. And again, both of these houses, they're essentially next door neighbors, but they're still a decent ways apart. If there's folks staying in both of these houses at the same time, it's not like you're gonna hear or see them really. They're that far apart. Mm-hmm. But as far as battle action, both of them really would have seen the same type of action over the course of July 2nd. This one's a bit smaller, only holds four people. Has both of them have full kitchens. The Slider House has one full bathroom. The Bushman House has one and a half bathrooms. But yeah, it's all the comforts of home can be found here in both of these historic structures.
And of course, there's heat.
Heat and air conditioning.
And air conditioning.
So it doesn't matter what season you come, your stay will be comfortable no matter the weather.
So the intent is this is going to be available all year round.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
What an opportunity. I mean, you have a lot of reenactors that would just love to spend a night.
Well, from what we've heard so far, it really is any visitor who loves Gettysburg.
Yeah.
There are so many fantastic historic structures in and around Gettysburg that so many people have flocked to year after year after year, whether it be a bed and breakfast or whatever the case may be. So this is a brand new experience that fits what already exists in and around town.
And what already exists in and around town, that was where the battle was, too.
Of course. You know, yeah, so just because the National Park Service has jurisdiction over what is commonly called the battlefield, really the entire town of Gettysburg is part of that battlefield. So just because we don't have jurisdiction over certain areas doesn't mean that it isn't also part of the battlefield. So yeah, absolutely.
I don't know who I heard the story from, but during the battle, some of the residents would actually crawl up on the roof mm-hmm. to watch.
Sure. If they were brave.
If they were brave.
Most of them would have stayed in the basements uh-huh. as much as possible to stay out of harm's way. But mm-hmm. If things in the evenings after things got dark and things quieted down, maybe not the smartest thing to do, but certainly going up to attics or to roofs certainly was a possibility to see what they could see.
Mm-hmm. Very good. This is awesome. And if this takes off, Jason, do you think you'll be opening up other historic sites?
I think time will tell. We initially had a more robust plan, and that didn't quite come through the way that we thought it did, so we scaled it back a little bit and just opened these two. And this is part of a 3-year trial, so we're going to see how things go. And if at that point we see that this is something that is viable, it makes sense for us, and certainly the public feedback is very important to us. If all of those things go accordingly, we'll certainly look to continue it and also potentially look to expand it.
And I guess one key also is that the property is respected as it's
absolutely
used.
That's that we do have a fair number of rules and regulations that come along with this, and all of that information is either on our website or on the the National Park Service has a general service-wide reservation system called recreation.gov, and it's there that you actually make reservations for the two houses. And again, the rules and regulations are all very well spelled out there on that website.
And they don't call a number.
No.
Do this online.
Everything's online.
Okay. And the site that you just got done sharing with us is what again?
Recreation.gov.
Recreation.gov. And I'm sure Sean Garrett, our magical editor, will have that right here as we're speaking.
And again, all of this information is also on the parks website as well, but in order to physically make the reservations, you'll link out of the park website to get to recreation.gov, to where you actually make the reservations.
What an opportunity, what an experience. Oh, I'm excited for that. So, you know, a topic that's everybody's excited about. We saw a little round top in the one picture. We had an opportunity, Mark Worley, our vice president, you know, station manager, Mr. Remarkable. He and I had an opportunity to go with the Destination Gettysburg. They had a special event where they took some business owners and stakeholders for a bus ride. And I think we have a video, if you want to share with us what we're seeing.
Sure. Here the group is at the Summit parking lot, and our park staff member here, his name's Zach. He was leading the program here for your tour. And Zach is going to walk up onto a brand new, fully accessible sidewalk. And what one of our primary goals was to add as much accessibility into the visitation for visitors into the project as much as realistically possible. And wherever we could add it, we did. If, however, adding accessibility for the sake of adding accessibility, and it would be, let's say, too much of a heavy hand on the landscape, we chose not to. So it was a very delicate balancing act about where we did and where we did not put these accessible sidewalks. But you'll see here in this piece, you can see the difference between the concrete, which is accessible, and this packed gravel, which is also actually glued down. In some cases, the video here may not show those foot trails in their final conclusion. But there are basically just the two styles of trail. One is a fully accessible concrete sidewalk, and the other one is this packed gravel footpath. And when you see the two, you'll know whether it's accessible or whether it's not accessible. One is fully accessible, that's the concrete, one is not. That's the difference between the two. And one of the other things that was really quite remarkable about this rehabilitation was the ability for us to bring back the defensive breastworks that, or the stone walls here, which you see just down the hill. They were largely hidden by a lot of vegetation, and time and gravity had taken their toll on those historic breastworks. They had basically fallen downhill in front of the walls, so they were about half the size that they would have been, plus the vegetation overgrowth, and most visitors didn't even know that they were there. So once the vegetation was taken away and some expert masons were brought in to help rebuild those breastworks, it's now a very, it's a big piece of the story that we can now tell to visitors, because that's when visitors come to Little Round Top and they see those rehabilitated breastworks, they're seeing it not as the battle unfolded, so the soldiers didn't have time to throw up those defensive breastworks at the time of the battle. But as soon as that battle had come and gone later in the afternoon of July 2nd, 1863, they started building those right away because they didn't know that they weren't going to get attacked a second time or a third time, sometime later on the 2nd or even on July 3rd. So that's how the Union soldiers left the battlefield. Those defensive breastworks were built by them over the course of the afternoon of July 2nd, all throughout the day of July 3rd, and if they were going to get attacked again, they wanted a very stout defensive position. And then the armies moved away and the war continued for two more years. So that's how the Union soldiers left the battlefield, and that's what we interpret today.
Mm-hmm. You guys are doing a great job. Well worth the wait. People are going to have a fantastic time there. Mm-hmm. The ability to get from one place to another is easy. The paths under your feet feel great.
Yeah.
And what a view. What a view. So no idea when it's going to open though yet, right?
No, we still don't have it. We don't have anything specific yet. Our reopening window has been and continues to be late spring to early summer. And that's really the most narrow window we can provide at this point.
And the people working for you, they're doing their best to get it open as soon as they can.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're not in any place to drag this out. Everybody wants this to open up as quickly as we possibly can. But having said that, we also want to open it only when everything is finished.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want more work. We don't want more closures. We don't want more construction or anything else. When visitors see it for the first time, they're going to see it as a completed project. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to open a minute before the project is completely finished.
Mm-hmm. And at the very beginning where Zach was standing, as he walked up and he stopped, that was where the buses would be stopping and unloading.
Yep.
and such. And there was a dip I saw for people who were wheelchair or mm-hmm. or any other accessible adaptation mm-hmm. for them to have.
Yeah, everything at the summit of Little Round Top is an entire system. And it is fully ADA compliant. So we have areas of Little Round Top that are now open to everyone, mm-hmm. whereas before the geography and the deteriorating conditions of the paths, the steepness of the paths and so forth, just did not allow for everyone mm-hmm. to have a chance to visit, and that won't be the case moving forward.
Very intentional, very strategic.
Yes.
Yes. So every year at this time, you have a program called Open Doors.
Doors Open.
Doors Open.
Doors Open.
Okay. Can yep. you talk to about that?
Yeah. The last time we did a Doors Open event was, I believe, back in 2019. This was prior to the global pandemic, and we weren't able to get everything together last year, so we're finally able to get all of our ducks in a row. So this is the first one that we've been able to offer since 2019. And what we do is we basically celebrate the opportunity to, it's during what's known as National Preservation Week, and this is something that we have been doing as much as we realistically can over the years. And this year we are opening three buildings on the battlefield for visitors to come in and go in. Come to the battlefield and walk in. There's no reservations or anything like that. They just show up and go in. Park Service staff will be on site to help explain who lived there, how the house would have been used before the battle, during the battle, after the battle, And the three houses that we have open this year is the Bryan House, the Leister House, and the Hummelbaugh House. And all of that information is on our website. We also have, in conjunction with our friends at the American Battlefield Trust, they are also going to be opening the Mary Thompson House, or better known as Lee's headquarters on Route 30, Chambersburg Road. So they are also going to be open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in conjunction with Doors Open and our three buildings. In addition to that, although not necessarily part of Doors Open, but this is also the opening day of the David Wills House. And the David Wills House is open Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays from 11 to 4, and that continues all the way through November 19th and the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address.
Okay, so very possibly people who are watching this will have missed Doors Open. However, this occurs at the beginning of May every year, except for circumstances beyond our
control.
Correct,
yeah. Those circumstances were out of everyone's control there for a couple years.
And every year you choose a different house or location to open up?
Yes.
And you intend to partner with
the American Battlefield Trust.
The American Battlefield mm-hmm. Trust. Again next year.
We hope so. It's kind of a year-by-year thing, but they have a fantastic opportunity, and we have a fantastic opportunity to partner with them and really get some excitement and give visitors a rare opportunity to get into some of these structures that aren't typically open as in general, they're not typically open.
So this is a great opportunity. This is a great experience. You know, if you missed it this year, please think about this for next year, because if you're going to go to the battlefield, you know, the weather is usually nice at this time of the year, and there's so much to do. You can go from one place to another and have the experience that isn't open normally.
Correct.
So this would be a great time of the year, and you usually have this publicized on your website.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Everything we speak about is out there for someone to pick up. But they always have the David Wills House.
Yes.
For the whole summer.
Yep.
And you also have some stuff going on with the Eisenhower site, which is a Doors Open program, pretty much seasonal.
Correct. Yeah, the home of Dwight and Mamie Eisenhower is also open seasonally. And they are currently running under their spring schedule, and visitors can drive directly over to the Eisenhower National Historic Site. And the home tours for the spring, which run April 5 through May 26, and also includes Memorial Day Monday. So this is, they're open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And house tours take place at 11 a.m., 12 p.m., 1 p.m., and 2 p.m. So that basically runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday through May 26th, plus Monday, Memorial Day. And then we get into the summer schedule for Eisenhower, and that begins May 30th and runs through August 4th. And we increase one extra day. So now they'll be open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we're increasing two more house tours, so from 10 to 3 on the hour.
So a lot of opportunities open for individuals that love President Eisenhower.
Absolutely.
And his family. One of the best programs that you guys have going, which is many, but one of them is the Living History.
Yes. Yep, and that starts this weekend as well, the weekend of May 11 and 12, and they run most weekends, not all of them, but most weekends through the end of October. And the full schedule of that for the entirety of the Living History calendar, May through October, is also on our website. But this first one opens with a group called the Potomac Home Brigade. They are an infantry regiment of living historians, and they will be at Spangler Spring, which is auto tour stop number 13, and they will have live firing demonstrations, weather depending, but they will also have their camp, and folks are just are welcome to walk in, start asking questions, and they these folks are 100% volunteers, but they know their stuff. They are experts in being and what it took to be a Civil War soldier. So they are a wealth of knowledge, and they become not just this group, but all the living history groups that come in are very popular throughout the year.
Yes, this experience is close to their heart, very
yes.
close to their heart.
Yes.
And the living history usually opens up the beginning of May every year?
Yeah, it usually runs at beginning sometime in May and runs through the end of October. And the first group comes in the weekend of May 11 and 12.
And again, if you would like more information, go to the website. And if you miss certain things that are happening, you got to wait a year, but no, they're going to come up again.
In some cases, yeah.
Yes.
In some cases, these events are just once a year. In some cases, they're seasonally.
Right. Living history. Pretty much you have the schedule. What the schedule is won't change.
Correct, yeah. Everything as far as the living history schedule is all up on our website.
And some of the experiences that someone can have this year in that is the brigade. What are some of the other ones coming up?
Well, there are, we try to have as many different groups as possible. It would include infantry. It would include artillery. And may also include cavalry, but the cavalry is a little bit more rare. So when they do come around, that may only be one or two times a year. But the rest of the time, you can be guaranteed that there'll be infantry, there'll be artillery, and there will also be some medical groups that come in as well to demonstrate what it was like to be a doctor during the time frame of the Battle of Gettysburg and what it would have been like to be a soldier under the care of these doctors during this time.
Plus certain places where the hospitals were and things that happened.
Correct.
So if you have a certain specific interest, they can go to your website.
Yep.
And they could see when that interest is being
correct
part of the living history.
Yes.
And then through my paper here, this is something. Again, they're all good. You know, you guys do a great job. The Summer Ranger Program. Mm-hmm. Is this for youth or is this for? Tell us about it.
Well, the Summer Ranger Programs kick off on June 8th, and they are a staple at Gettysburg and are looked forward to by visitors and have been for a very long time. As far as who are they for, what kind of visitor? Anybody. There are specific programs for families and kids. There are specific programs that would be really good for a first-time visitor to Gettysburg. But we also have programs that are really great for the person who's been here 100 times. We have in-depth programs that last upwards of 2 hours. We have an evening campfire program as well that talks about all kinds of specific things, not just about Gettysburg, but really anything about the Civil War. So we have very specific topics and we have very broad topics. We have topics that are specifically for families and kids. We have some that are much shorter If you only have a few hours, we have some things that you can do in a short amount of time. If you're a new visitor, if you're an experienced visitor, if you love hiking, we've got programs for you. Or if you want to sit back in the evening and just soak in an early evening program at our amphitheater, we have something. We really do have something for everybody.
All day long.
All day long.
All day long. And the summer ranger programs are your rangers given information, stories, mm-hmm. And such. So that's great. You know, is there anything else that we haven't talked about, Jason?
You know, there's one more thing over at the Eisenhower National Historic Site. Coming up on June 6th through the 9th, they will be commemorating the 80th anniversary of D-Day. And they will be doing special programs over at the site, as well as in the National Cemetery, because the Gettysburg National Cemetery isn't just for Civil War soldiers. There's Korean War, Vietnam, World War I, and, of course, World War II, soldiers buried in that cemetery. But the big thing that's really going to take place over there, in addition to ranger programs and living history programs, is a very special naturalization ceremony that will take place at 10 o'clock in the morning on June 6th at the Eisenhower National Historic Site.
And that's not that far away. No. June 6th is going to be here.
Right around the corner. Right around the corner.
Naturalization?
Naturalization. That is a ceremony where new citizens from elsewhere on the globe who want to come to the United States and become official citizens, it is where they are sworn in as American citizens. It's a very moving, very powerful ceremony.
As it is meant to be.
Yes.
Yes. So, no, we reached the end of the time, you know. Thanks so much for taking the time to come in and share what part of Adams County is doing.
Absolutely.
Happy to come. A great part, our historic part. Would you like to say anything to our viewers before?
Yeah, sure. Again, everything that we've talked about here today, all of the information that we have, no matter if it's Gettysburg information or Eisenhower information, can all be found on our park websites. The Gettysburg website is NPS, short for National Park Service, nps.gov/GETT, short for Gettysburg, and then Eisenhower, very similar, nps.gov/EISE. So the first four letters of Eisenhower and the first four letters of Gettysburg. Any questions, please go to our websites and look around. There's some fantastic, not only fantastic information, but also things like 3D tours of many of the buildings on the battlefield or over at the Eisenhower Farm. There's all kinds of videos, all kinds of really fantastic stories, and you can get lost really in all the information that we have on both of our websites, but certainly everything that we talked about here today, all of that information's on our website, so please go check those out.
Thanks again, Jason. I hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
Again, Jason Martz, the communication specialist for the Gettysburg National Military Park and Eisenhower National Historic Site. A regular visitor here at Community Media, and we always look forward to hearing what's going on with the National Park. And what a great opportunity here in Adams County to have the Gettysburg National Park as part of our history and our heritage, and the opportunities to go to Gettysburg, which is always a great, great time and just a quaint place and very friendly. And so if you're looking for something to do, it's right up the road or down the road or wherever you are here in Adams County, please go and enjoy your heritage. Thanks for watching this segment of Open House here. I'm Raymond Galker, and until we have a chance to be together again, be kind, and remember, you are the best.